Boy, listeners, I've been looking forward to chatting with our next guest here on It's Your Turn for a while. I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Chief Warrant Officer for Philip Brashear, and he chats with us by telephone today from Richmond, Virginia. First of all, nice to have you with us here today, sir. Great to talk to you.
Oh, sir, it's a pleasure to be with you today. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
This is Black History Month. Americans are celebrating the accomplishments of African Americans throughout our nation's history. And folks, I got to tell you, Philip Brashear's father is one of our true great American heroes. You've probably heard of him, and we'll talk about that in just a moment or so. First of all, generally speaking, what's the significance of Black History Month, especially as it relates to the U.S. military?
Well, sir, I will tell you that the contributions of African Americans is not a celebration of just Black history. It's an integral part of all history. American servicemen and women have left their mark on history in our society, and there's been no war fought by or within the United States in which African Americans haven't served proudly. So, actually, we're just celebrating American history as we celebrate Black History Month, sir. It's all American history.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It is so sad. I can remember many years ago, I'm a bit of an amateur historian on World War II, and I can remember many, many years ago when I first read that the American military was still segregated during World War II. I never knew that as a kid growing up, and I was so saddened and so astonished to see that. I mean, it's heartbreaking. My goodness. That was in the 1940s, Philip.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And to be more exact, more than 1 million African Americans served in uniform, but they served in segregated units, sir. The President Truman didn't desegregate the military until 1948.
Yes, yes. Well, we have some pretty famous groups. The Tuskegee Airmen come to mind straight away.
Yes, sir.
And then there's your father. First of all, tell our listeners who your father was and what he did.
My father, the late, great Master Chief, Master Diver of the U.S. Navy, Carl Brashear, was the first African-American diver in the Navy, and he was the first amputee to return to active duty status despite losing the lower half of his leg. And he made such an impact on the Navy, sir, that Hollywood decided to do a movie on him, and in November of 2000, the movie Men of Honor came out in honor of my father, depicting his life.
I can remember when I saw that movie. It was one of the, you know, most movies, I've read about, I've read a review, I kind of know what I'm expecting. I did not know what I was expecting when I went to see Men of Honor, and it was one of those films that I, you know, when the movie was over, I just kind of sat there in my seat, stunned. Folks, if you haven't seen it, go rent it or buy it somewhere. Men of Honor, it starred Robert De Niro, and Cuba Gooding Jr. played the part of your father, right?
He sure did, sir.
So, was the film pretty accurate? Did it tell your dad's story accurately?
Yes, sir. All in all, there's five hurdles that my father overcame, and that movie tends to take each one and kind of expound on it. My father, of course, joined the military as a poor sharecropper's son at the age of 17, with an eighth-grade education. So right off the bat, sir, my father endured racism, poverty, and illiteracy. And then it goes through his career, and he became a diver, which was a feat in itself. But during his career in the 60s, he was part of a horrific accident where he lost the bottom part of his leg, his left leg. The Navy wanted to retire him and put him out on disability, but he fought to return, so he was the first amputee to return to active duty.
And by the way, when he was a Navy diver, and I won't know the proper terminology here, Philip, so feel free to correct me, but it was not what we think of today as a scuba diver, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Your father wore the big suit and the heavy metal diving helmet, right?
Yes, sir. They were pretty much underwater specialists. They would repair ships, lay mines. It was not the scuba gear that most people are familiar with. It was the heavy, hard hat diving that was a whole lot more strenuous, sir.
And pretty dangerous, too, we might point out.
Yes, sir.
Can you give us a bit of a time frame? When did your father begin diving? When did he become a master diver?
Okay, my father graduated from diving school in 1954, and there's different levels that you have to attain before you make master diver. My father didn't make master diver until 1970, but from 1954 up until 1970, he graduated from every level to that point, becoming first class and certifications that lead up to being a master diver, which he achieved in 1970. I don't know all the levels of certification, but it was a span of 15 years before he went from being a diver to the point where he became a master diver. And a master diver, sir, is the top of the hill for diving. That's the guy who's in charge of everything, and everybody listens to him.
Talk a little bit about the tragic accident in which your father lost his leg. This was, well, you talk about a dangerous mission. This occurred in the mid-1960s, and it had to do with trying to recover a nuclear warhead, did it not, Phil?
Yes, sir. In 1966, off the coast of Spain, two Air Force planes collided. One of the planes had nuclear weapons on board. Three landed on ground, one landed in the ocean. My dad was already an established diver, so he was part of the team to recover that bomb that they knew fell into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Spain. They were just trying to find it and recover it before any mishaps happened. During that whole operation, they were looking for the bomb on the ocean floor with no results. But during that mission, my father endured an accident where some heaving lines on board the deck were pulling a piece of a lead pipe. The tension on that rope was so tight that the lead pipe broke free, and with that tension, it flung across the deck, and that's when it hit the lower part of my dad's leg after he moved some people out of the way. Luckily, he didn't get killed by this operation, but it did tear off the bottom part of his leg.
And he continued to dive after that, huh?
Yes, sir. He decided, well, the best thing to do is to go ahead and let them amputate it. And during that amputation, they actually cut his leg off, and they had to cut another inch off after they found out they didn't have all the infection covered. So he actually had two operations to amputate his leg. And he knew in his mind that he wanted to return to diving, and he went through all the rigors of getting his body back in shape to wear that 300-pound diving suit and become a reinstated Navy diver again.
300 pounds? That's what that diver suit weighed?
Yes, sir, with the breastplate, the helmet, the shoes, and the weight belt, up to about 297 pounds.
My gosh. When did your father pass away, Philip?
My father passed away in July 2006. It was halfway through my Iraq tour. I was a helicopter pilot over in Iraq when I got the Red Cross message that he was ill. I came home for 30 days, but during the first 5 days, I sat at my father's bedside and held his hand as he passed away July 25th, 2006.
Did he ever talk about his experiences to you?
Sir, until that movie came out in November 2000, I had no idea that my father endured the hardships that he went through. Of course, I grew up with him having an amputated leg, but until the movie came out, sir, I had no idea, and we talked about it. In fact, we talked about it up until the day he passed away when I was in his hospital room talking to him. He just didn't share that kind of information with us kids at home.
That is not unusual, as I'm sure you know.
Yes, sir.
Even with the World War II veterans for many years, in fact, many decades, they just didn't talk about their experiences and what had happened to them, even to their immediate family members.
Well, yes, sir.
At least you were able to talk about it with him before he died, and that's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
You have a special wristwatch that you put on every morning. I find this to be a wonderful story. Could you share it with our listeners, Philip?
Yes, sir. I keep a website on my father with all of his accomplishments and tributes and honors. And a Swiss watch company saw the website. And because they make aviation watches, they make diving watches, they make race car driver watches, they wanted to honor my father with a wristwatch. So they contacted me through the website and proposed the idea. Well, in 2016, they came out with the first edition. And because these artists, these watch companies want to make it special, they call a limited edition. It's what they call a limited edition version of a Carl Brashear dive watch that came out in 2016. Within days of release, it went worldwide and sold out. Well, the company thought it was such a great idea the first time that in 2018, they revised the watch, made a different version of it, released 2000 again, and just like before, sir, 2 years prior, the watch sold out worldwide. But on the back of every watch, it has my father's name and my father's famous saying, it's not a sin to get knocked down, it's a sin to stay down, which in turn means when life hands you lemons, make lemonade.
We're chatting, listeners, if you've joined us a few minutes late, we're chatting with Chief Warrant Officer for Philip Brashear. And it's so great to have him with us here today. You mentioned you have a website. Can you give our listeners that website, Philip?
Yes, sir. It's carlbrashear.org, O-R-G. Everything about my father includes the ship, the buildings, the bridge in Kentucky, everything about my father, to include a little bit about the movie. I don't try to harp on the movie, but just a little bit about the movie. All of that's on the website and all of the things that have been bestowed upon my father since his passing are on that website for everybody to see.
Philip's father, the late Carl Brashear. Let's talk a little bit about your military career. Can you review that for us? You've had many, many, many years of military service, Philip.
Yes, sir. Like my father, I wanted to join the military, and I did so by joining the Navy Reserve in 1981. I didn't have a degree, but I did manage to earn the rate of being a helicopter crewman. After a few years, I was thinking to myself, well, I can't fly because I don't have a degree, but I would love to fly. During a conversation, I found out that the Army had a warrant officer program where guys could come in and be pilots, which in 1989, I switched to the Virginia Army National Guard. The colonel kept his promise that I interviewed with and sent me to flight school. So in 1990, I became a warrant officer helicopter pilot up until today. So it's been a great 30-year stretch of flying Army helicopters and serving my country in that capacity.
And you did a tour of duty in Iraq?
I did a tour of duty in Iraq, sir. And like I said, halfway through my Iraq tour was when my father passed away.
Do you have any siblings, Philip, brothers or sisters?
I have three. Well, I have one brother who's deceased. He passed in 1996. I have an older brother and a younger brother, but none of them joined the military like I did.
I love some of the stories that you share. your father would say to you, there's always divers looking for pilots. There's never pilots looking for divers.
Well, see, my father had his way of putting me in my place. I used to pickle my dad all the time. When I was 14, I was already taller than my dad. My dad only stood 5'9", and I'm almost 6'4". And I looked at my dad one day while I was in the front room, and my mom was in the back washing dishes, and I looked at him. I said, Dad, how come I'm so tall and you're so short? And he looked up at me like a good father did and said, Son, before you came along, I was out to sea a lot, so you better go ask your mother. So he had his way of putting me in my place from time to time.
I'll tell you what, Philip, just chatting with you here this morning, I'm gonna rewatch that film. I'm going to buy the DVD because I can remember when I first saw it many, many, many years ago how much I enjoyed it. I'm going to add it to my collection, especially now that I know that it's, you know, very, very accurate, following the story of your father. The film is Men of Honor, by the way, folks, if you're looking for it. And Philip's father, the late Carl Brashear, what a hero. What a hero. You must be so proud of him, Philip.
Oh, yes, sir, I am. I tell you what, having that name and being his son has really opened a lot of doors for me when it comes to being able to relate and share his story among many people now. It's not just military. He's world famous, and to just ride his coattails and be able to just keep promoting his name and telling people about him, it really does a lot of therapy for me just to speak his name and know that people still honor and respect him.
A pleasure to speak with you today, sir. Thanks so much for sharing your story. and your father's story with our listening here today. Thank you so much, Philip.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. Take care.